the Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the greatest hour in radio history. You're listening to it. The happier, happy hour. It rolls on. Your calls could be next, 844-967-2789. But very briefly, Fancy Brian, gonna need your help. Cut number one. We're talking about Rojo. You know, he's got a new ad out. I haven't even listened to it yet. So, you know, rather than doing my homework and then coming to the show prepared, I thought I'd do my homework in real time on the air.
Well, this kind of in-depth analysis on the issues of the day, like Ron Johnson does, is it's really something that just needs to wash over you in real time.
I really prefer to be a little more knee-jerk about these things. So, Fancy Brian, if you'd be so kind, play it for the audience and me for the very first time. Here's Rojo. It's inflation, dummy. Cut one.
Inflation has surged to a 40-year high. Democrats declared war on fossil fuels, so gasoline prices are at record levels. President Obama's chief economist says inflation is costing your family $4,000 a year.
Why? Because Democrats are printing trillions of dollars to pay for their massive deficit spending. Inflation is the Democrats' tax on the middle class. I'm Ron Johnson, and I approve this message because I'm concerned about rising prices just like you.
Are you, Ron? You worried about my pocketbook?
Do you need to hear that again? Because there's a lot of really deep things and really important messages that are in there that you may need to hear it again.
Well, I recall that Ron was saying something about the Democrats printing money and just being sort of knee-jerk reactionary. Not trying to be so jackassery, but, you know, just knee-jerk. I remember that little Trump tax cut, like the unfunded $1.5 trillion tax cut, primarily benefiting the very wealthiest, including, ironically, Ron Johnson, who was the singular no. He was the cheese in the colon. He was the logjam. He wasn't going to let the Trump tax cuts pass without a special insert for designated S corporations. We've talked about this a couple of times because at the time I was a designated S, as was U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. But so is the widow Hendricks, one of the biggest and grandest Republican donors in this state. Oh, yeah, and Dick and Elizabeth Uline. Ironically, they also have designated S corporations. So when you hear about Ron talking about this tax on the middle class, just realize part of the deficit of this nation is because he gave a tax cut to some of the wealthiest Wisconsinites. In our understanding, 2018 tax year, individually, those two donor families that gave Ron $21 million, depending on whose reporting you believe, they saved from Ron's singular insertion in the tax code, the unfunded. Those two rich families saved between $80 and $220 million in a single year. And Ron got $21 million for his reelective campaign. So it's win-win. But when the, you know, Democrats try to give what? Money, stimulus money to working class, poor people during a pandemic? Well, that's the Democrats printing money. And of course, that surging inflation, that's all Democrat cost. Because we were, you know, fine fiduciaries of the money when we were given tax breaks to billionaires. That's what he forgets to tell you about.
It's not the cost of living going up. It's that you have a latte every now and then. That's really the problem.
You know, I don't even drink latte. That's the problem.
Clearly your problem.
If I only drank a latte that I could exclude from my diet, then I'd be rich like Ron Johnson.
That's all it is.
Damn it, man. Got to invest in some bootstraps. 844-967-2789. Jeff from Madison, welcome. You've been patient. Appreciate that.
Hey, guys. You know, I'm sitting here asking myself, you know, how stupid do the Republicans feel today that, you know, not only do they get played by Tony Evers on multiple occasions at their own game with the budget and, you know, this whole redistricting shenanigans, but, you know, they get a redo at it and they're probably going to get screwed by Tony Evers again. So it is kind of raising my opinion of Tony just
a little
bit.
I'm less clear how Tony has had any victories of late. He did sign the Republican legislative budgets, and he did use the line item veto, and he improved the first budget, and he sort of embraced that second budget. So Tony gets to claim the tax cuts, and as an electoral policy, signing off on those Republican budgets, apparently they think that's good politics. But these maps, Jeff, I can't agree with you. This is not a victory for Evers. Perhaps the congressional maps? I mean, that might be a victory for those that might want to run for Congress. At least they got the maps. But I don't see this as any sort of, Tony pulling a fast one. Go ahead. You make your point, Jeff.
Yeah, based upon the rules that were put upon him for whatever god-awful idea of
lease change.
I think he still managed to squeak out a victory over the Republicans when they drew up their maps. And having the Wisconsin biased Supreme Court, rule in Tony's favor, only to have it go up to the Supreme Court, I think, that was another win for Tony dealing with the cards he's been dealt. If we were talking euchre, he bluffed them and he trumped them all the way through.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know if I want to jump right in the euchre analogy. I just feel like the U.S. Supreme Court dropped the right Bauer on him, man. Tony went alone, and he just got handed a bust hand, is what I feel like. And I don't blame the governor for this. I do think the governor was strategic in his lease change maps. And he did win a victory, Jeff, on the congressional side. But on the state maps that the U.S. Supreme Court should have never waded into, I mean, I don't understand their justification. I don't understand the rationale for why they did so. But I have a hard time declaring it a victory for democracy or Tony Evers or for anyone but frickin' Republicans at this point. Because now they get one more crack at this, Jeff. They're going to get one more crack. And I'm not sure what the outcome's going to be. But I don't see how we're closer to having fair maps today after this ruling than we were this morning before we knew it was coming down.
And that's a valid point, but I'm still thinking that what did the Supreme Court say? Wisconsin Supreme Court, go back and take a second look at this. They might come back and say we did and we're good with it based upon what we've said previously, or the federal Supreme Court might have to come back and say, no, this lease change stuff that you imposed upon the redistricting maps early on is junk. It's bogus, and we need to go back to the drawing board. Maybe we can get the people's map.
Yeah, that would be a step in the right direction. What I would point out, though, Jeff, there is not really a compromise map. They can't take the best of Tony's and the best of the Republicans. It's a binary choice, the way it was put to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, as I understand it. And they chose Tony's, lease change map. Well, they've only got one other binary choice. And I'm not saying they're shoehorned into picking the Republican map, because I would question that compacts six majority-minority districts into five. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Hagedorn, said specifically upon examination that might be impermissible, meaning that might be illegal. You can't do that. That would be against the Voting Rights Act. But I don't know what the medium, the Goldilocks porridge solution is here, Jeff, because there is no map in the middle that retains the six existing districts. And if the U.S. Supreme Court said you can't have seven, and Hagedorn kind of implied you can't have five, what map do we end up with, sir?
Yeah, that's a very good point. And, the other thing I just want to say is, are we going to be able to claim Amy Coben Barrett as an activist judge now for what the shenanigans she pulled to get this into the court?
Well, in reality, of course, we know the answer is yes. We can certainly point it out. But, this is, and Jeff, I really appreciate you listening and your patience. Thanks for joining us today. But, of course, Republicans are masters at the art of projection. And they're great at doing the messaging game. They're really, really good at kind of laying it out and making it look like it's just, people like Ketanji Brown Jackson that might be a judicial activist. Because, she won't even speak about her judicial philosophy. She probably doesn't have one. But all our Federalist Society chosen Supreme Court nominees. They're all the right kind of justices. A, the right kind of schools. B, the right pigmentation of their skin. And C, the right attitudes on things like rolling back Roe v. Wade. Or maybe voting rights, the VRA. So this is troubling news out of the state of Wisconsin. I'm not going to claim that I can read the tea leaves, because every time I look at the bottom of the cup, they keep moving. Somebody moved the goalpost. I didn't think there was any way the Supreme Court was going to take up this challenge. I am stunned by this ruling, and I'm being honest with you. I pretend like I'm a smart guy on the radio. Sometimes I am just as stunned as everybody else by the outcome. How about you, Fancy?
The only thing that I took from this is that there's a glimmer of hope. At least before this, I didn't necessarily like the maps before, you know, the way that they had it ruled before, but now that they have opened it up, there's a possibility.
I don't see that possibility. I don't see that silver lining. I don't see that glimmer of hope.
It's in the realm of possibility. Whereas before, it was definitely not going to happen. There's now at least an opportunity because there's not.
Are you saying for the selection of the people's map, a more fair, less gerrymandered map?
I'm not like, you know, pie in the sky thinking that the people's maps are going to be looked at. I'm just saying that they ruled in favor of one of Tony Evers' part of the map, the federal one. We already talked about that, which means that they can't necessarily throw Tony Evers' stuff out whole. You know, they've given a mixed ruling here. They've given a mixed bag, and they haven't really actually said
VRA,
what they have to do.
The VRA doesn't affect their ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court ruling, which was also unsigned, and no dissenters when they upheld the congressional maps of Evers. But there were not questions that would be applicable to the Voting Rights Act, not in the designation of congressional districts. I mean, Gwen Moore gets her district. She is our minority representation in the House of Representatives, and that's all we get. And that wasn't the question. The question, and as I see it, and Fancy Brian, again, I've been wrong on this topic entirely, but as I see it, you've only really got two least change maps. You got the Republican version, and you got Evers' version. And if the U.S. Supreme Court said effectively, we've got to reject Evers' version for an errant understanding and reading of the Voting Rights Act. It's non-constitutional, as I understand the ruling, because it's too fair to minorities. It gives them too much representation. But the only other map to choose from that would fit the least change criterion is Robin Voss and the Republican legislative map. So I don't see the glimmer of hope. My fear is we're going to get shoehorned into the worse Republican map, which I think is the intent of what I perceive to be the partisan U.S. Supreme Court.
I can totally see that, and I'm not saying that there's any really, like, I'm just saying there's an opening there, and there's a legal argument to at least open the door for a discussion for something different. That's all. Because I don't think they're going to go with any, because they had already rejected the maps that are already there beforehand and went with Tony Evers. So my point is that if they have to do something different, they're going to be forced to do something different that could be and probably will be horrible. But there's a chance that maybe, like this last part, we might get one extra district that's a little bit more competitive, and hopefully Brian's style will go away.
I'm not clear. Well, that's already been established. State-level legislative races. I mean, either you get 5, 6, or 7 majority-minority districts. And Evers' plan was 7, and the U.S. Supreme Court said unconstitutional. And the Republicans' plan is to compact representation down to 5. And right now, as I understand it, there's not a six-pack to choose from. So anyways, man, you know, I'm just speculating at this late hour. I got an update on the Freedom Convoy. That's not speculation. They're doing really, really big things. I'll tell you all about it. Come back with us. More of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Where's the map?
I don't know, but I'm suspicious.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! Jackass!